This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, NFC West week. Arizona Cardinals are on the clock this day today. We got Seattle and we got the LA Rams, Super Bowl champs, to wrap up this week. But again, a very interesting division that had three teams that made the playoffs last year, obviously one winning it all, but two teams in San Francisco and Arizona that had seasons where there was issues with the quarterback. And in Arizona, it wasn't so much that there was somebody else, but there was a perception issue of the quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo played with San Francisco, got him to an NFC championship game. But with Trey Lance on the roster, there was always a feeling of finality with Jimmy Garoppolo, that there was going to be a moment where Garoppolo was not going to be the quarterback. And that's coming this year as Trey Lance is now their top signal caller. But in Arizona, it was different. Arizona had Kyler Murray and everything was going smooth. Then he got hurt. Then everything didn't go smooth. And not only did everything not go smooth, but they went into the playoffs and he had one of the worst performances of a quarterback in the playoffs in a while. And it made people sort of question, well, is this really the guy? And then remember the offseason where he scrubbed the team from his Instagram, which seems to be a tactic everybody thinks just works. But in the end, he was looking for that contract, looking for that big money. And Arizona kept saying, we're going to give it to him. But that didn't stop people from going, wow, the two sides don't like each other. They're so far apart. When in the end, it was really just a negotiating thing. That's all that was. But then the contract came, and then we found out about the homework clause and all the controversy that came with that. But nevertheless, Kyler Murray is now one of the highest paid players in the league. And now he's got a team that didn't really improve from 2021. And this season, their expectations are that they may not win the division, but they absolutely should be one of the three wildcard teams that the NFC is producing. So, that being said, what is the expectation for 2022 in terms of how good this team actually is? They lost some key people, but they've got a few pieces that should work. But remember, DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss six games. And Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, was acquired on draft day. There's going to be a lot on his shoulders. Later on in this show, Howard Balzer is going to join us from Sports Illustrated to talk about Arizona. When we come back, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll dive into the NFC West a little bit more, but we also got some other news around the league, including the quarterback battle that really wasn't in Carolina, all coming up.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Tuesday to you. Thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, what is the good of the day?
Good of the day. You know, we got to... I'm almost hesitant on talking about this, but I got to bring it up. Albert Pujols.
He could get this.
We shot it down completely. He was dead in the water.
Couldn't do it. Like, it's just too much with not that much... Because he had, like... At the time we did it, he had like 10 home runs on the season.
Not even that, Tony. Like not even that. He had like, because he has right now, this is where it's amazing. He has 14 home runs on the season.
Right.
He's hit seven.
So what did he have when we were talking about? Eight
like
or nine?
Seven.
Oh, he needed like he's 19 had, or something.
But he's had seven in the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Including two games with multiple home runs.
Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know.
Are the conspiracy theories coming out?
If he punts a ball, he's going to be randomly drug tested.
Not against the Cubs. The Cubs are, like, you know what I mean? Like, it not against the Cubs.
That made sense against the Rockies, right? He's in Denver. So. It's like a little higher altitude. I don't know. I'm all for it. He's seven away from 700 now.
Yeah. I think he's going to get it.
I think so, too.
I think if you're the Cardinals, they're pulling away from Milwaukee in the division. I think if you're the Cardinals, get him up there. First of all, there's no reason not to get him up there. He's hitting home runs. So he's hitting a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he started yesterday. I think he came in to pinch hit, and then he hit a home run. And
they won 1-0.
And it was 1-0.
That was it. He's 7 away. You're right. It's great. He's going to do this. Let's not jinx him, but you're right. He could do this. He said he's going to retire. He said he's not coming. And I've been going back and forth to this. Like, if he's 4 short, do you go through a whole thing, to like a whole season to try to get 4? Or do you get the 4 and retire? I think it just ends up being just a number. Like, in the end, it's like, eh.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think you bring him back.
You know, just to get 2 home runs.
Yeah, if he ends up, I mean, if he's like at 699, I think he just ends up at 699.
693. 7 more with like 6 weeks left to go. Come on, let's get this. I hope he gets it.
I think he can do it.
I hope he gets it.
Now, I'll give credit where credit is due. Jeff Michael, who is after us, did bring up an interesting question. If when it comes down towards the tail end, which home run chase are you more interested in? Aaron Judge going for 60 or even 70, or our Pujols getting 700?
I know the answer to that for me personally. It's Aaron Judge, and here's why. I think that this is a milestone that is just a cool number, but has just meaning to Albert Pujols. I think Judge, if he got like 62 or 63 home runs, I think there'll be a legit conversation in this country about the meaning of that, even if it's not official. There'll just be an emotional meaning to that. That Albert Pujols, because he's not tracking down Babe Ruth, he's not going to track down Hank Aaron, he's not going to track down Barry Bonds, he's not going for the record. And even though Aaron Judge is not going for 66 or 72 or 75, or he's not doing any of that, there is significance to 62 in a record that is so stained with PEDs and steroids that I think the conversation is, I'm looking forward to the conversation of what that means. I think Pujols is like, Pujols is a guy chasing 3,000, but it's different because there's only been like 5 guys that have ever gotten like 700 home runs, right? Like, there's actually 3 that have gotten 700. So he'd be the 4th. So that's pretty significant, but it's more of a personal milestone than an actual conversation that we would have.
Yeah, it's not getting to 500.
Judge, I think, could actually, if he got 62, could create a dialogue of just people going, well, what actually does this mean to you as a baseball fan, knowing that the summer of 98 was, and Barry Bonds after that, is just been tainted by the cloud of performance-enhancing drugs. But I'm having more fun with Albert Pujols.
Well, I mean, if he's
because
stuck,
he's like it's like grandpa going up there swinging a stick. It's
but
great.
If he's stuck at 699 and there's like over a week left.
Oh, yeah.
And you're sitting there just like, come on, just one more, baby. Just one more.
The question is, who's if you were to tell me only one person got their mark at the end of the season, who do you think it would be?
Ooh.
Judge hit a home run last night. And he's has 47. 47.
Yeah.
He still needs 15 to get to 62. And he's got to get 16 in the next 15 in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not 2 weeks. Pujols
has 6 weeks left to get 7.
7. Yeah, I'm thinking Pujols would be the leader right now just because he's really hot at the plate right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Oh, like, come on, Cardinals, just keep throwing
Judge
him out there.
Judge feels like he gets one and then a couple games he gets another. I mean,
well, it's that the Yankees
suck
right now.
But Judge has the ability of hitting 5 in 6 games, right?
Yeah, but the Yankees suck too.
Yeah,
right now, it's like, you know, they're just a train wreck, and so you can't really trust that you're going to get anything quality out of the entire team. That you can get Aaron Judge into a position where he's hitting something.
So I'm looking forward to the Pujols chase. I think it'll be fun. What's the bat of the day?
Bat of the day, because it looks like this one goes out to, it's not really bad for you or I, except we get to talk about it, especially not for you.
Not for me?
In particular.
Okay.
But it looks as if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are extremely far apart on
a
contract
extension. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It absolutely does.
And here's where the sticky point is. The Ravens have offered him a contract that would make him the highest paid quarterback. More, you know, he's getting more money than Kyler Murray, which seems great. But Lamar Jackson wants it guaranteed, fully guaranteed.
Yeah, that's why every owner hates the Haslams right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's the Watson factor.
Right?
That's what I'm calling it now, factor.
If you're at those owner meetings, you look at him and go, why did you do that? Yep. Why did you do that? Because there's no other – like literally every quarterback now can stand up and say, yeah, you know what? I didn't do what he did.
Yep.
So – he got that from his team. You got to give me that, too.
He got that before it was even proven anything.
Right. So let's not even beat around the bush here. This money's guaranteed. It's changing. Like, every agent has got that in their arsenal now, and they're going to use it. And teams are like, all right. Well, that's
all my client has done is gone out, won MVPs, and be the most electrifying quarterback in the league.
So that's the exact line.
No off-the-field issues?
Mm-mm.
Why can't he be fully guaranteed?
So, yeah.
It's going to be tough. I don't even know. Is there a way that it slowly fades away or dies out? Or is every agent always going to go, Watson?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't think it goes away.
No, I don't either. I'm really curious as to where this is heading because owners can't seem to help themselves, right? I mean, they want an edge on the field, so they give the edge in the contracts, and then it builds up to a point where there's a never ending slew of like literally how many in the last 2 years, how many contracts have made that person the highest paid quarterback in the league?
Yeah, well, we're always going to have that.
It's always going to be that way, right? So at what point does that end? Never. What's the top dollar amount? Well, they'll work it out. Like, there is a salary cap, but it'll always be worked out that the quarterback can find a way to be the highest paid quarterback around. Right? I mean, it's just it's.
And so
it's,
the next big thing is, you know, it's like, well, okay, because you know, you could have a contract and it becomes null and void after a while because you didn't fulfill it.
Yeah, and I think,
if you get fully guaranteed up front, like, you know, hey, you're going to pay me this no matter what. I mean, I think that's the next big thing. It's like, just make the contract fully guaranteed.
Yeah, and I'm all for this. I'm all for players making as much money as possible. I've said this many times, so I'm going to stay consistent with it. But I do understand on the flip side, like, I have seen drop-offs after once that pen goes
constantly.
To paper. I've seen drop-offs and injuries that never quite make you the player, and now I got to give you I got to give you $250 million.
Yep.
Like, that's how this works. So, like, you know, week four, you break your leg and then you're never the same again. And I'm giving you a quarter bill. Like, that's how this, I'll give you I'll give you $250 million contract, but $100 million of it's guaranteed or something like that. But I'm not giving you all of it, but that's the way it is now. Thanks to Deshaun Watson. And Jimmy
and Allen. I mean, not even that. It's just the fact that, you know, given what was being said about him at the time, I mean, the contract was perfectly detailed for him.
Right.
The fact that he's not earning any money this season.
Yeah. You know, just the way they structured it so that they knew in advance that this trouble was coming.
And yeah.
All of that was just awful.
It was the best contract Deshaun Watson could have.
Yep.
He couldn't even hope for that.
Kudos to the agent. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to run that interference. He's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to tell the employer what you won't say.
Yep.
You know, he's supposed to be, and that's what
he's the bad guy.
And he's the bad guy. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day. It's not really dumb because I found it awesome, and I know you did too. What's dumb about it is I need more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jordan Spieth and his caddy.
That was a wonderful, wonderful piece of it.
Here's a short little snippet of it, right?
Stand into it and see. I just feel like that's a cool Tuesday, Wednesday shot. I mean,
I actually think it could do it. Like, and I think that the downside is almost the same, okay? This one's on me, all right?
Okay. All right, I trust you. All right, come on. Trust those instincts here.
It's a good number.
Yep.
Well, guys, if you've ever heard a caddy try and talk his player every which way possible out of hitting this shot, then you heard Jordan say, it's on him.
Why does Grower even try?
Well, this thing's floating. It's got to get up.
That was the shot
right
that
the
he
water.
Didn't think he could hit.
Right into the water.
Right in the water. And Greller was trying to talk him out of that. If you just see, he was in a bunker, and Greller wanted him to hit it to a spot where it would be 15 yards with a wedge. Yeah. And Spieth looked at it and just loved it. He loved the look of it. He just went, I can do this. If I get a clean shot, I'm going, it's going on the green or it's going long. It's a good number. He just wanted that shot so bad. He wanted the hero shot. And Greller said, no, take our medicine. Let's go over here. And he said, no. But then the weird thing was when he said, this is on me. Okay, why isn't all shots on him? Why isn't all, like, this idea that the caddy is to be blamed is ridiculous. Like, when Jordan Spieth was growing up, Jordan Spieth played golf on the junior circuits all around wherever, and he played college golf. He made his own decisions. He might have had somebody carrying a bag for him, like, hey, my buddy's carrying the bag at this little junior tournament I'm playing in. But he made his own decisions. And somehow when they get to be pros, it's all the other guy's fault.
It's caddy's fault.
Like literally, if you're 160, let's say you're 162 out and slight downhill, and you know it's a 9-iron for a pro, right? And you take the 9-iron, and the caddy goes, yeah, I think a 9 is good. And then you hit it short or long. You look at the caddy and go, ugh, like he gave you a driver? Like, what were you going to do? Like, what would you have pulled out of the bag? You're a professional golfer. Like the idea that these guys, like, it must be a great job when the player's playing well, and it must be the worst place to be in the world when the player's playing crappy, right? So think about what Spieth had to do there. He had to tell Greller, I won't yell at you if I screw this shot up. Like, that's what that was when he said, yeah, this is on me. When he said, this is on me, that you can translate that to, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to fire you mid-round and get and do what Don Johnson did in Tin Cup, which is just grab a fan the gallery. Right? Like, I won't do that. So you don't have to worry about losing your job when I completely botch this thing and put it in the drink, which is, I'm probably going to do that, but I'm thinking I won't. Ugh. But listen, on the other side of it, I love the caddy golfer conversations.
We don't get it enough.
We don't do it enough. It's fascinating. The math that these guys do is crazy fun. And also, you see the sport in an entirely different way. Look, I play with my buddies. We always shoot for the pins. None of my friends go, hey, hit it to the fat part of the green. We're always like, we use our little laser things. It's 130 to the pin. The pin could be in a tight corner surrounded by water and bunkers, and we're still aiming for it, right? These guys don't. They're always like, nope, what's over here? Let's aim it here. The middle part of the green to the left, that gives us a downhill putt, but it's a little bit more workable. Like, the strategy is incredible.
No, basically, they play smart.
Play really smart. Like, on the tee, you'll hear them say, like, it's 320 to carry the bunker, so if you tag it, you better put a draw on it. But you go 3-wood, it's going to come up, 20 yards short, and it leaves us this angle, or let's get to that part of the fairway, because it's the strategy is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Because the only time, I mean, most of the time you're watching this, you're seeing just a golfer out there by himself. This feels like it's golfer and coach in a way. Like, they're trying to formulate a plan of, like, here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to attack it.
All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, as we continue this morning, Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. But let's get a little bit more into Tom Brady and his return back to the Buccaneers. That's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Howard Balzer is going to join us next hour. We'll talk to him about the Arizona Cardinals, the 2022 campaign. But as we do these previews, you also have to remember we have to do a little bit of a review as to what the team was and what they will be and what the anticipation is in 2022. And Arizona certainly has that on their resume. But Tom Brady returned to practice yesterday. He was gone for 11 days. Nobody knows why. Like we were joking about last hour, the Masked Singer thing has gotten some momentum, but Brady denied it. But he has to deny that if he did that. I don't know why he went. In all seriousness, I don't know why he left the team. But I do know this. I think that while Tom Brady is the kind of individual in sports that, because he left practice, right? Well, for whatever reason, it could have been family, it could have been private, could have been the Masked Singer, I don't care, that it creates this sort of real speculation. a lot of it has to do with Brady's age, because when he leaves this NFL, nobody knows how it'll happen, right? Will it happen when he finishes a season? Kind of like what he did last year when he eventually came back, but kind of like what he did last year, which was lose the playoff game and then wait and then announce that he was retired. Again, comes back into the league, announces that later, and a couple weeks later, I think he retired in early February and mid-March, I think is when he announced his comeback. But you don't know if he leaves mid-season or he leaves in training camp. He seems competitive enough he wouldn't leave mid-season. He seems competitive enough that he wouldn't leave in training camp. But age really does change you, right? Age really does. And you can fight it all you want, but there's a reason why the cliche is father time is unbeaten. There are going to be moments that Brady has probably never anticipated on what age is going to do to him. He is fighting it as best he possibly can, and that's great. And he's in great shape for a 45-year-old. He's the best athlete I've seen at his age in any sport. I mean, just still zinging it, still playing at that high level. Last year was an MVP level that he played at, and I expect that again. But let's all be realistic here. He cannot do that forever. We all know that. We think these guys can, but they can't. And sometimes the thing is that it's exponential. And I think that's the one thing that is missing when it comes to the way age affects an athlete. It's not like you throw 40 touchdown passes and then the next year you throw 30 and there's a little bit of a look that age comes. Age can come where you throw 40 one year and you can barely throw it 15 yards the next. I mean, it can be that quick, because a lot of it has to do with the way your body repairs from injury, right? We all hear about this as you get older, right? That knee is, it's funny. It's like when I had dislocated knee a couple of years ago, and I had a small torn meniscus, just a small one. But I remember the doctor telling me, there will be a little, you'll feel it a little bit. He goes, it's not damaging or whatnot, but you'll just feel it forever. It's like one of those things that when you have some injuries when you get older, it's like, yeah, that you'll have that for the rest of your life. You'll just live with it. And that's going to be the same way with him. There's going to be a pop to his shoulder, or there's going to be a pop to his arm, or there's going to be a pop to his knee or pop to his leg, whatever it is, that is all the diet and training and all the money that you have to get the best people. Your body's just going to go, yeah, you know what? It's going to take just a little longer. Sorry. That's just the way it goes. And you can pop all sorts of protein shakes and blends and plants and everything that he does. And the body still goes, Yeah, used to be able to pop back from this, but I think we're going to stay in bed just a little bit longer today. And that's just the way it is, and it builds and builds and builds. So don't get me wrong. Do I believe that he is more likely to have done something like The Masked Singer or something business-related that has nothing to do with his health? Yes. If you were, of the list of things that Tom Brady left for, whatever that reason is, and I'm not speculating because it's a private matter, whether it was to be on a TV show or his father's sick or his wife and him want to sort something out, I don't care. But I will tell you that I'm more likely to believe that it has something to do with that than, man, I can't do this anymore. And I don't want to show that I can't do this anymore. I just want to get to the season. I think it's 100% that. But don't be surprised if down the road he does leave in some way where he's going to play this game until the point where he can't play it anymore. Either two things are going to happen to Brady. He's either going to play until his body says, no more football. That's it. You're done. We are not going to be playing football anymore. Or two, he's going to look at the circumstances and he's going to say, you know what? I don't want to be on a bad team. I may be the best quarterback and I still am on a high level, but my offensive line isn't very good. My players, some of the key players I need are either injured or they're not keeping. The defense is terrible, and I don't control that. Like, he doesn't want to be on a team that is sliding. Now, the Buccaneers should be a contender this year. They should go to the playoffs. But maybe there's a point down the road where the Buccaneers don't put the team around him isn't as good. And he goes, that's it. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to struggle to go 9-8. And that's why he leaves. But remember, the day's coming really quickly where something about his career is going to change to a point where he won't be in the league anymore. That's why people speculated so hard as to why he's gone. Is he fed up? Is he hurt? Is he tired? Or is he singing songs on a popular show? You never know.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Whatever happened to Guns N' Roses? Are they together still?
They're still touring.
Are they still touring? Is it like Slash and Axl get along and everything?
I think they get along enough.
Enough to do that, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as the Dave Lee Roth Van Halen fallout. But I mean, you still see them. The only problem is, I mean, they aged.
Oh my God, did they age?
They aged.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I don't know if Axl could still hit these high notes that he used to.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't one of them die? Is like the drummer die or something?
I don't think the drummer. I think it was Duff?
Was it Duff? I think Duff. Yeah.
Bassist or other guitarist?
Was the other guy's name Steven Adler? Is that the other name of the guy? I think so. I'll have to take a look. I was a fan of theirs like everybody else back in the day. But then I remember my memory is a little foggy on this. So if you can fill in the blanks, feel free. But I'm not sure why I have a memory of doing a show in Colorado Springs where I had a friend of mine who worked at the radio station. He was a music guy and he came and I was doing a sports show, but you know, we would venture off into other things. And he was a music guy and I had him come into the studio to talk about Chinese democracy and why it was took so long and everything like that. And Axl was on this big, long project and I guess it didn't take off like he thought it was going to. But I remember that being a big deal. Like Chinese democracy was like 10 years in the making or something like that. So yeah, I always wondered if you could still, could I see them at like touring at one of these festivals or like someplace like in Nashville, like Bridgestone Arena or something. Like some other bands, but never, I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't think they're not on the casino circuit just yet.
Not quite yet, exactly. Not quite yet. But isn't it amazing?
I'm going to Google Guns N' Roses tour dates.
Yeah, okay.
See if anything pops up.
See if anything pops up. It is amazing when you go to these places like casinos or whatnot, and you see who's coming, and you go, oh, I love doing that. Like every now and then I'll see somebody at a casino, or I'll see an ad on TV that'll say like, do you love Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night? Well, he's coming to blah, blah. And you're like, oh, that's what he's doing now. Wow. REO Speedwagon coming to the Williamson County Fair. Like, what? Wow. Those used to sell out arenas. Now it's get my fried Oreo, ride a death machine, and go see REO Speedwagon? Wow. What is it, my birthday? It's crazy. So
They are touring.
Are they?
Yeah. The closest that you'll be able to get to it, though, what might be one of their tour dates in October in Mexico.
Harris Boat Casino.
No, they're...
where are they playing?
They're doing a South American tour right now. Then they're going to be in Mexico in the month of August. And then that's off to Asia.
There's nothing
in the States.
That's pretty good. I mean, still, that's a pretty good tour.
Yep.
You know? Man, if you can still make it, still do it. Are you interested in this Hulu thing? I don't know if you get Hulu or not, but they got like a documentary on the Rolling Stones where it's called Life in the Stones or something like that. It's basically like all the band members talking about what it's been like to be a Rolling Stone for 70 years or whatever. I mean, 60 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, I haven't even heard about this.
Yeah, it's like they got them all. You know, as old as they are right now, talking about what it's like to be a rock star for pretty much a good majority of your entire life.
I mean, the longevity that those guys have had, just remaining alive blows my
mind. To be honest with you, there really isn't a reason why, if you've had a lot of success, why you can't just continue doing it until you're dead. I think there's always an audience. You may not be playing in mega arenas anymore. You might not be selling out giant stadium. But I think no matter who you are, if you've got some platinum records, you've had some success, I think you can do it forever. I think there's always going to be people that'll be willing to see. Like, kind of the old joke on Spinal Tap where they're like Puppet Show and Spinal Tap. Like, I think there's always going to be Puppet Show and ELO. Like, whatever band you're in, I think there's always, always a place for you to perform. You may not like the crowd, you may not like the venue, but there's always a place. And as Spinal Tap kind of mentioned in that doc, that fun, you know, movie, was Japan. They could go to Japan and tour. Same thing with these bands. All right, so maybe you're playing small arenas in America, but you can fill out huge places overseas. Like, Europe, Asia, South America. I saw, you know, Kiss still does pretty well here, but I saw a video of Kiss in Europe, and oh my God, it was like it was the 70s. I kid you not, man. I kid you not. It was like it was like they were performing in the 70s. It was an ocean of people that they were performing in front of. And these guys are in their 70s and still wearing the makeup and stuff. So I think there's always a place for you. It's like when you're an athlete. Like when you're a professional athlete, if you've had a successful career, there's always a card show you can go to. There's always a fan fest thing you can go to. There's always going to be somebody that will pay you money to open up a thing or be a part of this or be a part of that, or speak at some company. Always going to be that for you.
I feel the need to we need to correct ourselves real quick.
Yes,
there are no members of Guns N' Roses who are dead.
Why did I think there was?
Well, were you confusing it with Foo Fighters?
No, because that just happened like...
Yeah, I mean, that drummer passed away. I thought this, you know what, to be honest with you, I mean, I thought the same thing. I'm looking it up, like the original members of Guns N' Roses are all still alive and kicking. Steven Adler is not with the group anymore.
Oh, that's it. He's not with the group anymore.
He's not with the group
I thought
right
he was
now.
Dead, but they kicked him out. They kicked him out of the band, which is a huge difference, by the way, just in case you don't know. Being dead and losing your job are not the same thing. I just, in case you were just wondering, I know many of you out there like, oh, I thought that was, nope.
I thought that was the same, Tony.
Because when you get kicked out of a band, you could actually be a part of another band.
Right.
Or sell insurance or start a company or retire in the mountains. You can do those things. Dead, entirely different thing. Entirely different thing. So that's why you listen to this show, for the wisdom that I bring and the knowledge that I bring. So I confused a guy getting kicked out of the band for being dead. That sounds like a rock star thing, though, isn't it?
Like it does.
Like, let's be honest. If you were to say, "Here is you want to go see Guns N' Roses," and you're like, "Yeah," they're like, "Yeah, it's everybody from the band except the drummer." Wouldn't your immediate thing be he's dead? Doesn't it sound like a rock star thing to have happened to somebody? Like, oh, why isn't the drummer there? Wouldn't your first thought be like, well, he's probably dead? You're like, no, he's not. He's actually alive and well.
He's alive and well. I mean,
okay. My default is that he died of some overdose or something.
He did return to Guns N' Roses to celebrate the 30th anniversary for Appetite for Destruction.
One of the greatest albums
of all time.
It is so good.
But in 2019, his band... performed on the Kiss Cruise, number 9.
Kiss had a cruise?
I think Kiss had a cruise.
Of course they did.
And I'm assuming it's that Kiss because cruise is spelled K-R-U-I-S-E.
Can you imagine being the cruise director on the Kiss Cruise?
Oh, my God.
Hello, everybody. This is Neil. I'm your cruise director today. Don't forget tonight at 12 noon, we've got bingo. And then don't forget, we're going to be opening up our shops for some wonderful liquor and jewelry. And Jean and Paul will be having a Q&A at 2 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that on the promenade deck. Welcome to the Kiss Cruise, everybody, as we're going to be sailing the bright seas, rock and roll forever.
Is there anything they haven't tried to make money off of?
No. No, they haven't. They haven't.
I mean, they my haven't. Lord.
They haven't. You could go to Gene Simmons and go, I want to put Kiss on. Doesn't even matter what it is. And he'd be like, yes, actually, Paul and I would love to be on your thermos.
No, thermos, come on. That's child's play.
I had that when I was a kid, man.
Yep.
I had that when I was a kid. I had We're going to make
Kiss paint for dogs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Kiss dog treats, of course. Shaped you like the shape of you guys. Dogs can gnaw on it.
Get the star. Get the tongue.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
else?
Great Kiss.
The guitar that looks like an axe.
Kiss cruise.
I mean, I don't. It sounds like it would be fun.
I think it would be a blast. I think it would, I would love to go on the Kiss cruise. Are you kidding me? Just to observe it. Just to.
But
see.
It's just the fact, you know, the thing that blew my mind. It was Kiss Cruise 9 that they were on.
So apparently the last eight.
There were eight of them.
Eight of them were so successful, they just continued to roll along with it. That's awesome. That is great. Don't forget the concert up at the Lido Day.
Hey, you know,
coming up at 7 o'clock.
I'm sorry, you know what? Kiss Cruise 11.
Yeah, Kiss Cruise 11.
Is setting sail October 24th.
God, somebody get me on that thing right now. Somebody put me on that Kiss Cruise. Hey, please. I deserve that thing.
Wow, what a lineup, too.
Oh, my God, there's a lineup?
Oh, my God.
Like, it's not just Kiss?
No.
Who else could be on the Kiss crew?
You might have heard of bands like Warrant.
What?
L.A. Guns, Lita Ford.
Lita Ford, Kiss Me Deadly, is on the Kiss cruise?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What are we this talking about
amazing.
Here?
This is amazing. I got to do some more investigation on this.
Sounds like that
was
heaven.
That was under week one. Week two, you could have Buck Cherry, Sebastian Bach.
Sebastian Bach?
Yep, he's still alive. Let's not kill him off
like I did Steven Adler. Sorry.
I read this wrong. This is Black Sabbath.
Oh, okay. So not Black Sabbath?
Not Black Sabbath. Sabbath, because it's an all-women's band.
All right.
Riot.
Riot is on the Kiss cruise?
Yeah. So there's 2 weeks, and God, this is an actual thing.
That is great.
It's Los Angeles to Cabo San Lucas and Ensenada.
It's like the captain would come on to tell you like some emergency, but nobody can hear him at all.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like the captain's getting on the thing and like, yeah, we ran aground and please get to your lifeboats, but nobody can hear a thing because Lita Ford and Ace Frehley are on stage blasting out tunes together. What an amazing, that's what a crazy.
Well, unfortunately, none of the interior rooms are available.
Oh, okay. So I can't get a cheap room?
Yeah, you can't get the cheap room. The cheapest room for two guests would have been $14.50 per person.
Whoa. Do I get like an autographed Kiss picture?
You do get some stuff, but if you go for both weeks, there's a whole bunch of stuff for you if you get 2 weeks.
I love this show, man. I love this show. I was going to talk about something about Baker Mayfield winning some starting jobs somewhere in Charlotte, I think it was. I don't remember. Wherever team he's playing for, but my mind is a blank now. I've got this Kiss cruise going in my brain. Where can I go for this?
Well, I mean, you know, here it is, too. It's like, you know, if you sail both weeks, you get happy hour with Kiss.
Oh, my. Happy hour with Kiss?
But Kiss will not be signing items or taking individual photos at the happy hour. So you're just hanging out with the band.
You're just one
of the bandmates. You know, you're just one of the Kissies, I guess.
The stuff these guys must get thrown at them, it must give you a headache, right?
Yeah.
Where their agency, whoever's in charge of hearing all the stuff, is like, okay, Gene, Paul, sit down. We got 5 pages of this stuff today where people want you to do this or this or this or this or this. It must be crazy. All you did was play Guns N' Roses. This is what happens sometimes. Play Guns N' Roses, and now I found out that there is a cruise with Kiss.
Well,
that's,
you know what?
Amazing.
I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show. Your wife and daughter are going on an epic trip.
Right?
You said that's at the end of September.
Right.
Well, this is October 24th to 29th. Ooh. Or you can do October 29th to November 3rd. There's 2 weeks.
Amazing.
So you just have to choose. Would you rather see Warrant and Lita Ford, or would you rather see who are they? Buck Cherry?
Sebastian Bach.
Yeah.
God, that's awesome. That's great. All right. We continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Howard Balzer is going to join us next hour as we talk Arizona Cardinals with him. I'm still excited about the Kiss cruise. But
I never knew this was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing either. It's amazing.
I mean, I can't, you know, do other bands do this?
I think you should, right? You should.
I mean, you're held captive on a boat. This gives you something to do every single night.
Well, you know, other celebrity things on cruises is like, if you can't do entertaining things, what other things are you going to do? Like, let's say you had a boat and you said, we're going on a boat with Hall of Fame football players. Like,
right.
All
these
Gronk
cruise.
Right. Yeah. Like a Gronk. Well, I'm thinking more less tame. Like,
okay.
Roger Staubach's going to be on the cruise, and you know, a bunch of other, like, John Stallworth is going to be on the cruise. Jim Plunkett is going to be on this cruise, right? After a while, you're like, okay, I went to their Q&A session. I got my picture taken. I signed an autograph. I got to have a snack with them at a table. But after that, you're like, what else are they going to do? Throw footballs around on stage? Like, at least this thing is like, there's 30 shows of different bands on this thing all the time. Music and all the time. So if you're picking your celebrity cruise, pick something where they're actually doing something
Other
than you getting a picture and an autograph.
I imagine there's quiet hours on the ship between 6 and 11 a.m.
Right, right.
It's like that's like the
just
time.
Just
everyone gets
to down.
Sleep.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is going on. There aren't even restaurants. You can't even get a bite to eat.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with it? Like,
because I don't think it's old people on this.
I've got to go to bed. Tomorrow I'm playing shuffleboard on the Lido deck. I've got to get up.
Yeah, that was all left at the dock.
I was like, no, we're done. No, there is no Lido deck now. It's all party deck. That'd be fun. Such a fun time. That's a fun time. What if like Gene gets sick like on the boat? Like, oh, I didn't realize this thing rocked as much as it did. That's great. I had a friend of mine who was in a band and he was on a cruise ship. He performed, just part of it. He was like a drummer, like a studio
right.
drummer that got to be on a cruise ship. This must be kind of neat.
I mean, I would assume that this one's way better than Richard Simmons' Sweats of the Oldies cruises.
Ugh! The only thing I want to do on a cruise is lay around and eat. I don't need Richard Simmons yelling at me to exercise. Oh, my God. At least give me rock and roll if you're going to do that. All right, coming up next hour, again, we'll get back to the Arizona Cardinals. The Carolina Panthers have made the decision on Baker Mayfield. No real surprise there. I'll also get back into, again, the preseason games coming up for week 3.